Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 182. Today's date, October 8th, 2025. And let's get started with our tip-off tops with, he's hurt again. Ja Morant, who missed a chunk of the season last year, injured his ankle and is out week to week, according to the Memphis Grizzlies, as they gear up for the season. And this is the kind of news that we didn't need to have from Memphis, a Memphis Grizzlies team that, remember, had time missed a ton by Zach Edey. Zach Edey missing the majority of this end of the season. Last year, going to miss the start of the season this year. Triple J out, injured. Jalen Wells working its way back, obviously, from the end of last year. And Desmond Bane traded. We were leaning on Ja to have a big bounce back year, a Ja Morant that is considered by some to be a top five point guard in the NBA. And this is just not the news that Memphis needs. I mean, let's be honest here. And for Ja, it's always something, whether it's on the court or off the court. For a player, I really, let's be honest, is one of the best pure athletes in the sport and can be such a dominating presence on the floor while he is playing. So Ja Morant is out week to week, and that should pull back some expectations that we have for the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll be sure to update you as we get more information about when Ja will be close to returning to action. Speaking of point guards injured in the Western Conference, a guy that we did not see last year was Nikola Topic, who missed all of last year to a knee injury, and now it's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks after having a procedure done. This is big news in the fact of, in my opinion, and when I did the NBA draft last year with Kevin Walsh and Ben Stevens, I considered Nikola Topic to be a top five pick. And obviously he slipped because of the injury, and he went to a perfect situation in, obviously, Oklahoma City, where he could bring him along slowly. Well, I was hoping that Nikola Topic was going to be ready to go because he could have taken on the reins of the backup point guard spot and really put himself under no pressure whatsoever, playing with arguably the first or second or third best player in the world in SGA. So this is something that we're going to have to monitor with him, because we don't, last thing you want to talk about is a kid just being injury prone. So this is something that's we'll watch out for. Obviously, with people like Kayson Wallace, like, they have other guys that could play at the backup point guard position. But this was such a highly touted kid coming into the draft last year that I just thought getting him on the floor was just going to be of importance to Sam Presti and Mark Daigneault and the staff of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Say that three times fast. Once again, Nikola Topic out for 4 to 6 weeks due to injury. Speaking of young guys, well, he's here. And that's Cooper Flagg, who made his preseason debut versus the Oklahoma City Thunder in a 10.6 rebound, 3-assist game, shooting 3-of-6 from the floor, 2 out of 3 from three-point line. So when you look at Cooper Flagg, I want people to understand this, especially with Kyrie being out. I expect Cooper Flagg to do a lot of ball handling responsibilities, kind of that point forward, if you will. So to me, right off the bat, the 3 assists makes me look at him and say, if they're hanging assists at him at about 4.5 a game, I'm looking over. We're off the jump because I think he's such a dynamic passer. And at 6'9", he's got the sight line and sight vision to see over the defense to make the right play. And he's very, very, very fundamentally sound. The rebounds and the blocks, I expected. I thought Cooper Flagg was arguably the best defensive player in college basketball last year. So stocks, steals plus blocks would be something you should be a note looking at. I wouldn't be surprised if he averaged over 2.5 stocks per game for his rookie season. Rebounding, he's a solid rebounder, very athletic, not afraid to mix it up. So all the stats for Cooper, I'm not surprised by. What I'm happy about is a 2-3 from three-point range. Cooper Flagg did do some work in the offseason. Looked like to me he's catching the ball a little bit higher at the chest, which means a little bit of a quicker release. So if Cooper Flagg is going to be a guy that can give you, I don't know, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2.5 combined blocks for steals, and shoots about 38% from three, that's absolutely dynamic. For a Dallas Mavericks team without Kyrie Irving, I still think it's going to be a player, and we'll talk a little bit more about Dallas as we do our Western Conference previews in the second and third segment. Moving on in the world of basketball, and this is oh, Lord. I mean, Adam Silver basically acknowledged that there is plenty of work to be done to repair relationships with the WNBA players as they negotiate a new CBA. And now there is even talk that he may have to, ready for this, folks, get involved in the negotiations with the league. We talked about it last podcast about the fact that Nafisha Collier has canceled her meeting this week with Kathy Engelbert, and that basically the relationship between the WNBA Players Association and the leadership of the WNBA is beyond repair. So what do? You go and get Adam Silver, who has, ready, folks, the almost the exact opposite relationship with his players as Kathy Engelbert has with hers. Adam Silver, and people can say what he wants, gets along with the players and realizes that although he is employed by the owners of the NBA, it is his job to be the liaison between the players and the owners. I don't think Kathy Engelbert understands that. Kathy Engelbert has basically decided that she is to work solely at the discretion of the owners of the WNBA franchises, and she doesn't believe in a working relationship. And it just speaks to the problems that has happened in this league. We can go and we could talk about the refereeing, how inconsistent it is. We could talk about the travel and the scheduling of the WNBA, which is an absolute abomination. We could talk about the way they basically abused Caitlin Clark by putting her on national TV almost every game, and then she misses three quarters of the season, and now they're left holding an empty bag. The WNBA has got a serious problem. They have a Kathy Engelbert problem. They have a problem with the owners of the league, of the teams of the league, and the players. And it is about time that someone else from the outside, meaning the NBA, may have to step in, and that's Adam Silver. I'm going to say this right now. The more Adam Silver gets involved in this negotiation, the more likely you're going to see Kathy Engelbert be gone from her position. Coming up next, we'll get into our NBA season preview as we look at the odds to win the Northwest Division, where you have arguably the best three teams, maybe, in the Western Conference in OKC, Denver, and Minnesota. And then we'll look at the Pacific Division, which could be the most even division, maybe not Phoenix, because they're going to be in trouble. We'll be back with our preview after this commercial break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 182. And let's continue our preseason tour, or as we did the Eastern Conference last episode. Let's focus on the West, and let's start off in the Northwest Division, where the reigning and defending NBA champs Oklahoma City Thunder are coming in at minus 330, Denver at plus 390, Minnesota 12-1, Portland 25K, and Utah the same, even though I think Portland is going to be way better than Utah. Simply put, when you look at this division, the Oklahoma City Thunder should be the best team in the league. They have the highest win total. They could push 70 wins, even though I don't think they get there. And it's because of the MVP, SGA. And you look at the rest of the roster that they have with them, with Jalen Williams and the jump that he made. Obviously, Chet Holmgren, his performance. Lou Dort as a defensive stopper. Alex Caruso coming off the bench. Hartenstein, Andrew Wiggins. You know, obviously, Kayson Wallace. They have a plethora of players that obviously Mark Daigneault can go to. And that's why they're the favorites to win the division. And they should. But you're not going to bet minus 330. So where could you look? Folks, I'm a huge believer that Denver is going to be really, really good at plus 390. I don't know if I'm going to take that bet, but I'm looking at their over win total, which I think is about 52.5, if I'm not mistaken. I look at Denver, and Nikola Jokic should be motivated. I didn't like the inconsistency of Michael Porter Jr. And I'll be honest with you, I think Cam Johnson is a far better player, more consistent. You put him with Aaron Gordon, who does a little bit of everything. You know, you have Christian Brown, who took a big leap forward with Jamal Murray in the backcourt. And then I think getting Bruce Brown back for the bench is something that's going to make this team a lot better. Jonas Valanciunas as a backup center, the best backup center that Nikola Jokic has had. I look at Denver, and I think they're going to go over their win total of 52.5 wins. Minnesota should be interesting. I'm going to say this, folks. Anthony Edwards is going to be a sleeper pick for me for MVP. I got a feeling that this kid is going to explode. Julius Randle was really good in the playoffs. He got his money. He should be better. I know Mike Conley is getting up in age. Between Terrence Shannon Jr. And then obviously Rob Dillingham, one of those two are going to have to step up for Minnesota this year. They should be pretty good. Portland, I'm a little bit higher on than people think. Remember, Dame ain't playing. I think Scoot Henderson's going to be better. I think Yang Heng Sen, I think, is going to be a really good rookie. I think the second year, you get Dominic Klingon should be better. They got some veterans that you have to think about what they're going to do. Demi Avija, I think, is very underrated as a player. I think the team goes over that win total. Portland, they stink. Terrible. There's no way around it. That's all I need to say. So really quick, Oklahoma City probably wins the division. Denver, I would take them to go over their win total. Portland, I'll go over their win total. They could find and sneak their way into the play-in. Let's head to the Pacific, where the Lakers are the favorites at plus 140. The Clippers are at plus 185. Golden State, 2.5. Sacramento 35-1, and Phoenix 60-1. Folks, see that picture of Luka Doncic? That's not Luka right now. Luka has slimmed down. Luka looks motivated, and Luka looks prime for a big year. LeBron sans his, Hennessy announcement, which I thought was whatever, not important. They have to depend a lot on DeAndre Ayton and what he gives them. So far, not looking too good. Can denominating give them something? I don't know. I know they got drama right now with Kawhi Leonard and that whole no-show endorsement deal. Folks, I'm taking the Clippers to win the division. I want you to hear me out. I think James Harden can give you another year. I think Bradley Beal moving to the two and not being a main guy is going to be clutch. You look at, obviously, Kawhi Leonard and what he can do. Look at Ivica Zubac, who I thought should have been the most improved player this past year. And then I got John Collins, who I think is going to be really, really, really good. Then you look at their bench. and have Chris Paul, and you have Nicholas Batum. You have veteran guys that are going to make them far better. I think they win the division. Golden State, this is going to be a hot take. Folks, I know everybody's high on them. I'm not. I just got a feeling it's going to run. It's going to go south. And to me, I'm not looking at this team. Folks, I may take them to make the play-in. I don't think I'm going to get a lot out of them. I think Steph's a year older. I think, you know, Jimmy got his money, so he should be okay. What can you get out of Draymond? Pozemski's talking about, like, the torch being passed to him. Like, what torch is he getting passed? He gets torched. And I look at that division, and I just think that the other two teams are better. Sacramento, listen, they got to get a point guard because obviously getting rid of De'Aaron Fox, they could be in a room for a point guard. You know, they got some players in LaVine and DeRozan, obviously Sabonis, Malik Monk. I think it's moved at some point. I'm just not high on them, honestly, because I think they blew it when he fired Mike Brown, to be quite honest with you. And that's not because I'm a Knicks fan. I just think Mike Brown is one of the best coaches in the league no one talks about. Phoenix, they're just terrible. I mean, listen, this team, I was so proud when they took Molly Watson in the draft. And then they turned around and got two more centers. So now I got 3 7-footers. I don't get it. They got Ryan Dunn, like the kid. I'm a huge Devin Booker fan. Shoot, I got 3 pairs of D-Book, so I love me some D-Book. That team is terrible, and Matt Ishbia spends his money like the Steinbrenners in the early 80s. And if you know anything about the Yankees in the early 80s with George Steinbrenner, folks, it wasn't good till we got Stick Michael. They got to get someone in Phoenix to take control of Ishbia. Coming up next, we will end our preview by going to the Southwest Division, where the Houston Rockets are the favorites to win the division. And then you have two teams out of Texas, and San Antonio and Dallas are intriguing. Memphis with injuries. New Orleans may be better than you think. And then a buzzer beater on breaking news about the NCAA and betting. We'll be back to end this podcast after this commercial break. Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 182. And it's time to conclude our preview of the divisions with the Southwest Division. Houston Rockets check in at minus 210. San Antonio Spurs at plus 420. Dallas Mavericks at 8.5. Memphis at 11-1. And then the Pelicans at 60-1. So when you look at this division, it's obviously Houston, right? And Houston got the terrible news about Fred VanVleet tearing his ACL and going to miss the year. I still think they're the best team in the division. Number one, I think they're the best coach in the division, in Ime Udoka. Two, I look at the acquisition of Kevin Durant as a scorer. Puts a lot of pressure off of these young guys. And that front line that I now think should be, because of injury to VanVleet, of Jabari Smith, obviously Kevin Durant, and Alperen Şengün is a dynamic front line that is long and can score and score in many different ways. The biggest key to this team is Amen Thompson. I look at Amen Thompson, folks, as a sleeper for Defensive Player of the Year. I know it's going to be Wembanyama because Wembanyama is always going to be the favorite, but we don't know if Victor will play enough games. I am just a big believer in this team. And I think that they are the best team in this division. And it's interesting to see if they could challenge Oklahoma City for the West, obviously, with the injury with VanVleet. When it comes to San Antonio, I'm so bullish on this team. Victor Wembanyama just grew another inch. Now he's 7'5". I mean, the Eiffel Tower can do it all. I personally think, and one time we'll do this on this podcast before we start the season, where I will give you my 10 best players in the world. folks, Victor Wembanyama right now is in my top 10. I'll give you one better. I think he could be in my top 5. He is dynamic. He can impact the game both sides of the ball. He can score inside and out. He can shoot three, pass the ball, block shots, pop the popcorn, serve you beer, whatever you need. He definitely protects the Alamo. Dallas is going to be better than people think. I think Cooper Flagg is going to be dynamic. I think he's a chameleon. He can get you 20 points one night. He can get you 10 rebounds one night. He may give you 10 assists another night. He may give you 4 blocks one night. He may give you 5 steals. Hello, triple-double alert. He's going to get one during his rookie year. And then Anthony Davis looks thicker. But for the love of you know what, can you please play center? Please. You put on 20 pounds. Play center. Go ahead and slide P.J. Washington to the floor, and then let Cooper Flagg play the 3. You put Ozzie Clay Thompson at the 2, and at the 1, you got D'Angelo Russell. Please, 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 please. San Antonio, Dallas, make the playoffs. Memphis, I was high on them. The John Morant thing scares me. I can't go there. Nor the New Orleans Pelicans, folks, at 60-1. They're not going to win the division. But I got a feeling Zion looks good. I just got a feeling with him, too. They're going to be better than we think. I'm going over the win total. Let's go to our buzzer beater, where it was reported today by ESPN and followed by The Athletic that the NCAA Administrative Committee adopted a proposal to allow student athletes and athletic department staff to bet on professional sports. I don't know if you understand how big this is. I can speak to it as a former collegiate Division I assistant. We could not bet on any sport besides sports, ready folks, that did not have a NCAA championship, horse racing, MMA, and boxing. You couldn't bet on anything. Folks, you couldn't do fantasy football. You couldn't do box pools. You couldn't do brackets. You couldn't do anything. But with the wave of sports gambling in this country, The investigations that were taking place with players gambling, they had to make a change. Remember, sports gambling is 21 and over in most states that it's legal. So that means that you're dealing with mostly seniors and juniors in regard to this. It was a smart play by the NCAA, and you will still see compliance. Talk to college athletes about the dangers of sports gambling. But bravo for college basketball to do this, college sports to do this. Look for the Division II and Division III markets to follow and the Division I model and allow gambling for professional sports. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for October 8th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. For my producer, Matty George, who always does a fantastic job, thanks for listening, folks. And always remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.